Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 263 of the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan, how are you?
Hey, Sarah. I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I am doing okay. We are recording this on Sunday, May 31st, and it was a bit of a week in our country. So just acknowledging that we're showing up here today, kind of feeling the weight of a lot of things with us today.
I believe you referred to it as a dumpster fire last night.
Yeah, I believe I did use that phrase. And the last couple of days, I have just been doing a lot of reading and a lot of thinking about what's going on in our country with regard to racism and anti-racism. And today's topic is not about that. And we're going to move forward with the topic that we have prepared for you all. But I guess just to say that this is something we're thinking on and reading a lot about, both of us personally. And I'd love to link in the show notes to some things that we've come across talking to our kids about what's going on, talking to our kids about racism, doing our own work and our own learning. So I have come across some really good resources, and I'm sure you have too, Megan. So
yeah,
check the show notes for links on that, and just know that it's something we're thinking about and processing as we hop on the mic today to record today's episode.
Yeah. And I also want to add that I think it's important to know, and I think we hinted at this maybe in an Instagram post yesterday, that nobody really knows how to do this just right. And 2, 3, 4 years ago, I don't even remember now how long it's been, but we did an episode that I believe we titled Two White Moms Talk Awkwardly About Race. And that was literally what it was. And I have a feeling if I went back and listened to that now, even now, I would see how my thinking has changed about how I have had my eyes open to things I wasn't even thinking about then. So I guess I just want to say, like, just acknowledge this is all a process, and it's better to do something than nothing, even though we're going to stumble and not always say the right things. And so it's definitely on our minds. I know for myself, I am someone who likes to think long and hard about saying the right thing or being helpful and not harmful before I jump in. And sometimes I think too long and too hard. But definitely more content around race has been on my mind. And today didn't feel like the time to do it, but it's definitely something that we are thinking hard about.
Yeah. And if you are, you know, listening to this and feeling like we are, just sad and a little bit, you know, unsure of the first action to take this week, maybe some links in the show notes can just be, you know, one place to start. I know I have books, a couple of books in my online shopping cart, and just feel motivated to, you know, do my own work this summer. So with that, we are going to turn to today's topic, which is really about what are some realistic intentions we can set for this upcoming summer, knowing that it's going to be very, very different than past summers, and maybe than we thought summer 2020 was going to be. So, I mean, it's always one of the most popular things we do is talk about any kind of time management and schedule. People seem to love that. But we're doing this at the very beginning of June. So this is not about tried and true. This is about Megan and Sarah sort of declaring our hopes and intentions, right?
Yes, absolutely. None of this is probably, this is really in the thinking or the pre-planning stage for me. I haven't put any of this stuff into effect yet. But I actually really appreciated that this is the topic we went with, because it got me thinking about just a handful of really simple things that I can do to just add the needed intentions that we need around what the time of year we're going into, which is going to look very differently this year.
Very different. So I was going to ask you when your kids officially finish school for the year.
I don't really know, to be honest.
I love your honesty.
Here's the thing. I feel like this has been the most anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Not even a crawl to the finish line. It's been like a melt. It's like an ooze, right? I do know this. I know that we only have one more class meeting with the teacher.
Okay.
And that's this week. I believe this week is the official end of the year, but because things are so weird, there's not going to be like any fanfare right. around it. I think the kids have like a couple fun activities they're supposed to be doing. My older kids have until like June 5th to wrap up any work they haven't turned in if they want to get grades. They don't have yeah. to. They can not do it. But yeah. if they want grades, they have to do it. They have till June 5th, which makes me think it's probably like the last day, but that might just be the last day teachers can get grades in.
Yeah, you might actually go till the following week. It's a mystery.
But it's a mystery because who cares, right? All I know is by June 5th, my work here is done.
Yeah.
There's nothing left for me to do. But I do think that there's probably, I don't think that's officially the end. I think it would have gone into next week, but I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a feeling you are probably more on top of it.
Well, we are done. We're recording this on May 31st, and my kids finished Friday, May 29th, so 2 days ago. And, you know, there was a bit of, I guess, virtual fanfare. There were some cute things. Reed's class even recorded parts for the play they were going to do, and, like, somebody video edited it all together. There were a few cute, like, virtual meetups. Violet's class did some cute things. So it felt like a proper last week of school if we've gotten to the point where we've accepted this virtual spring as normal.
Right.
It did feel like there was a little bit of fanfare. Allegra was really motivated to finish up a couple things and to get her final grades. So I think we had a tiny burst of, okay, let's wrap this thing up. And then we will go in this week, the first week of June, to drop off any technology that we'd borrowed and pick up stuff from the classrooms. And so I think the day this drops, I will be doing that. And that will be weird to see our physical campus and to go into a couple of my kids' classrooms and get their stuff. That will feel really weird and probably emotional, to be honest. It's just, it's sad that we didn't have that kind of a wrap up this year. So,
yeah, I think there's been some talk about doing like a virtual field day, but that just sounds like a bummer to me.
Yeah.
I mean, even real field day was never that fun for me as a kid. And it's just a virtual one sounds awful. And then we usually would have like a big picnic at the end of the school year in elementary. And there was the fifth graders would always play a softball game against the teachers.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
not going to happen. And Clara's done with fifth grade. And we've been getting emails about going back and getting stuff or like dropping off computers. But I don't even know, because my kids had a day of warning. I don't know that there's anything there. Like, I don't know what they left, if anything. So I need to sort all that out this week. And I've been kind of avoiding it, to be honest.
Yeah. We had sign up time, so I just grabbed one, and we have some library books to return. And I know my first and fourth graders will have some artwork and stuff from the classroom that I will, you know, I'll want to save that.
Right.
I don't know that Allegra has anything. She travels pretty light. So,
yeah.
Well, I thought it might be interesting to talk a little bit about what feels different going into summer this year from a scheduling and like time management perspective. And I can go first. I mean, the really big one is that normally this time of year, it's been so busy. We've been out of the house so much with, you know, wrapping up activities and, you know, school plays and open houses. And it's like everybody, you know, we used to joke about how busy May was. So we finish up usually at the very end of May or very beginning of June. Reed's birthday is June 1st. And it's always that like first week of June where I'm like, oh, I'm so happy to have nothing on the schedule. And I don't put any structure to our days. I let the kids just, you know, unstructured play. We don't put anything on the calendar for a good week or week and a half. And then what usually happens is I emerge and I start thinking about, okay, what do I want our summer days structure to look like? But the problem, of course, is we have been at home. I believe it's more than 80 days at this point, as of this recording.
So we already had summer break.
We had that. We had unstructured time. We had sleeping in. We've had boredom, you know, and that all used to be something that I really kind of looked forward to because it's so different from the hustle bustle of May. So without that change, there's no change because we have been doing that. And so that's what feels biggest for me this year in terms of difference.
Well, I would say the same. And the fact that we have our good weather really starts right now. This has been a really weird 3 months. I mean, and like, that's the understatement of 2020, right? But it's kind of like you took something that that resembles normal life. Like everyone or anybody who's working from home still has to work. School in some capacity is still happening, right? But then you layer summer break over top of it, where everyone's home and everything kind of falls apart, and like we go a little feral.
Yeah.
And so it was like we had the best and the worst of both worlds at once. And
then layered in Michigan, on top.
Yeah, layered on top. And then in Michigan, we had the additional, you know, crap of it being like the worst weather. So now it's just getting nice out. Usually this is when it would be great to just like lounge around on the beach or like lay in the backyard. But now we've been doing, like you said, we've been so relaxed for the last few months. I definitely don't want to continue down the feral path and just get more and more wild and like unkempt. But at the same time, I want to enjoy the summer. So it is an interesting and like there's a tension point, right?
Agreed. I totally agree. Another thing I thought of is that we usually travel quite a bit in the summer and it tends to be bigger trips, like probably two bigger trips or maybe even three if one is like a short drive or something. And so what that means is those are the kind of the rocks of the summer. And then the weeks that we're home, I don't schedule very much. We don't do a lot of camps. I don't over program my kids or I don't even like set big expectations. We don't do a lot of crazy like local stuff because it tends to get crowded here with tourists in the summer. And that is very different because without the travel, I am really looking at this summer as probably more structured than any other summer. Because usually if the summer's 10 weeks long and we have some intermittent trips, the in-between weeks, it's like, great, let's just chill out. Let's just see where the day takes us and let's catch up on laundry and work and let's sleep in. But that for 10 weeks straight, when we've had 9 weeks of sort of already doing that, feels very different to me.
And it's like you lose the big rocks that would have been the thing you worked your summer out around. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this. Like one of the things I've noticed in the past few months is that this new routine has really kind of allowed me to like create my best life in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So I'm less distracted by outside activities. I have personally settled into a great sleeping routine. I'm getting up early without an alarm. I'm going to bed at a decent time most of the time. I'm exercising almost every day. I'm reading a fair amount. So it's like I kind of put on my, to use the overused cliche, like I put on my oxygen mask and figured out what I needed to do to make myself not fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's really lined up with what the kids are doing, partly because they've been, and we'll get into this more in the episode, but like everything changed for them in the way that they socialize, the way they do schoolwork. And so I just kind of let them do whatever. Like really, it was like, if you want to stay up late and sleep in, whatever. If you want to have video games be the main way you interact with people, that's fine. Because what other options do you have? So it's like now I have to take all the good things about the routine I've developed and then figure out how to kind of like lay the kids over the top of it or bring them into it in a way that doesn't wreck it for me or make them grumpy because I'm trying to like shove them or shoehorn them into my stuff. So that's going to be interesting, especially because I have teenagers.
I am so glad that you made this point because I don't think I had gotten to the place where I could articulate the tension that I feel. But this is exactly it, is the my own self-care and self-preservation and even the way I keep my home and the way I cook and eat and exercise is it really has been in almost direct conflict with what I am starting to see that my children need. And I want to add one more thing to that. And I think you and I have talked about this maybe offline, off the podcast, I'm losing track. But when we were picturing something that was 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 6 weeks or 8 weeks, there was a certain amount of leaning in and letting go of like, okay, extra video games, extra cookies, extra baking. And when we are looking at this with a longer term lens, there's very different choices I would make had I known. And I didn't know. We didn't know. So we can't go back in time. But what our kids need is so different when we're starting to take a longer term lens, I think, in terms of the structure they need, the physical activity they need, the social interaction that they need. And so that's been a tension too, thinking like, well, of course it's no big deal to make cookies every day for 3 weeks. Like, you know, we're very we're very lucky to be even able to do that. But then I'm starting to see the needs that are emerging when you start to look at this as a 6 month, 12 month, 18 month thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And I also think it's important to remember that like the kids don't have the life experience or the tools to do it for themselves.
Correct.
Like I was able to pretty quickly look at what was happening around me and say, what can I do to make this less stressful on me, more productive for me? And that's great. Like, I think we all need to do that. We all have to take care of ourselves so that we're not stress cases and trying to do too much. And like, that's really important and valuable to work out for ourselves. But now I'm looking at my kids going like, they don't know how to set up their sleeping habits in a way that works for them on their own. They're not going to figure that out on their own. Like, they're not going to figure out how to use the internet tools at their disposal, like in a way that's healthy for them. They're just not. They're not. Yeah. They don't have the life experience. They don't know yet how to do that, and they've never had to do it for themselves. Like, they've always had in the past, the most unstructured time that they've had has always still kind of centered around or been fenced in by something external being imposed on them.
Yeah.
So now, like, yeah, you're right. It's like time to just kind of say, what did I learn? What can I bring to family life and what needs to change?
Yeah, I love that. Well, we will take a break, and then we basically have four intentions each for our own summer schedules that we will, full of optimism, share with you all after the break.
Okay, Sarah, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, but do you consider yourself a rebel?
I do not, no. I am totally a rule follower. But I will say, I think a lot about raising my kids, and especially my girls, to question and challenge and push limits in ways that will really allow them to explore whatever dreams they have with confidence. And I'm really excited to welcome back our sponsor, Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, because their podcast is all about sharing stories of women who really did break the mold and went after their ambitions.
Yeah, this is so important, I think, to put stories of girls going after all kinds of different career paths, science, sports, medicine, art, activism, and politics, in front of our kids in a way that's entertaining, but also just makes it seem normal. That's what we're going for, right?
Exactly. So every episode of Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls tells the story of one awesome woman, and the stories are also narrated by other super inspiring women. Most of the episodes are around 20 minutes long or even a little less, so it's great for a car ride or a bedtime wind down, and the kids and I really enjoy them.
Check out Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls wherever you get your podcasts. We'll link to a couple of episodes we love in the show notes, and you can also just type in Rebel Girls into your favorite podcast player and start listening now. Go check it out. Sarah, can we talk about desserts?
Megan, we can always talk about desserts.
All right. Well, you know that I'm not much of a sweet tooth in general, but I don't know if it's just like the monotony of staying at home or if I just need a little something special to give me a lift these days. But I have been finding myself turning to sweet treats more than usual lately.
Well, you know that I really like a little sweet snack every day. But yeah, lately it's felt like I have those cravings a little more often. So I am right there with you.
The thing is, I've been eating lower carb lately because I really like how it makes me feel. But it's kind of hard to combine a lower carb eating style and dessert. And a lot of low carb desserts are just complicated to make, or they require special ingredients. And they often just don't taste like the real thing. And sometimes I just want a little something-something right now without all the fuss, you know?
Well, even if you aren't eating low-carb all the time, our sponsor Breyers has a great treat that you should definitely try. It's called Breyers Carb Smart, and it comes in both bars and in the tubs, and it tastes just like regular ice cream, but with only 3 to 5 grams of carbs and 150 calories or less per serving.
So, Sarah, we were all going crazy over the fudge bars in my house, and then I looked at the box, and they only have 3 net carbs and 60 calories per serving. I was like, what? And then I totally hid one at the bottom of the freezer because, you know, I want to have another mom snack later. Why not, right?
Totally. Well, Breyers has been making ice cream for over 150 years now. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised that they knocked the low carb treats out of the park too.
Okay, so go to Breyers.com/themomhour to grab a coupon. And the next time you're shopping, give them a try. Breyers Carb Smart treats are available at all major retailers and they're easy to find. Go to Breyers.com/themomhour to try Breyers Carb Smart.
Okay, so Megan, why don't you kick us off with your first intention for how you manage your time this summer?
Okay, well, I am planning to do a return to time blocking. So I talked about time blocking way back in maybe September, August, when we were talking about school year and kind of, you know, our schedules. I don't remember what episode it was, but that was when I was hardcore in it. And I massaged that time block. And just to let people know who maybe didn't hear that episode or aren't familiar, a time block isn't a calendar. It is more like a framework by which you create your calendar. So in my case, it was a Google sheet with all of, hour by hour or half hour, you know, throughout the day. And then each day laid out. And I would just say from 9 until 10 every day, I'm doing X. And like, you fit exercise in, you fit phone calls, you fit all those things in. And then when you look at it, you realize what you're not making enough time for, what you're maybe giving too much time to, you realize how much time you really have. And then when you create your calendar, you can kind of refer to it and say, well, no, I'm not going to schedule that call then, because that's not what that time of day is for. I found it super duper helpful. And then I completely just dropped it.
Well, just to vouch for you, you stuck with it for a long time. And I know you have said that you're someone who you know, sometimes has trouble sticking to a program because you have your inner rebel, but you stuck to that for a long time. And as an outside observer, what I thought was really cool is you had time blocks for things like, you know, creative business projects, which was really cool because, like, let's say you got a crazy business idea. Number one, you wouldn't let it distract you from whatever you were doing that day, but you had a place to park it for later.
Right.
And number two, if you got to your creative business projects portion of the week and didn't have anything there, it was a good wake up call to be like, okay,
right.
Well, I need to come up with some creative business projects. So it worked on both on keeping you from getting distracted from the task at hand, but also making sure that you're devoting time to the things that matter. So I was really impressed with your time blocking.
Well, thank you. And I also liked that I was able to use it kind of as an excuse to not schedule things. Like, I could blame the time block. So I remember many times you would ask if we could do something at a certain time. I'd be like, no, my time block said not.
I learned.
You did. But like, it helped me. It helped me put boundaries around my time. And then it helped everyone else in my life who was exposed to my boundaries over and over kind of realize, oh, so she's not going to do that on that day or whatever. So the problem is, or the thing that happened, not a problem, is that we came to a time, and I know you and I both talked about this, where any schedule like just seemed irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Like, why schedule anything when time and space and days no longer matter? And that worked for, like, I've really enjoyed how flexible we've been and how great we've been about, like, this, you want to record now? I don't know. Later? Sure. Whatever. Like, you want to jump on a call? Okay. What else is going on? That's been great. But at some point, we are going to start moving back towards some thing that looks somewhat like normal, right? Yeah. And we need to relearn how to have stuff on our calendar. I tell you what, the few times I've had more than two things on my calendar in a day, I don't know what to do. Like, I look at it and I feel super overwhelmed because suddenly this calendar, which has been irrelevant, is now telling me what to do again. And I don't know how to handle that. It's been too much of a, you know, it's just been too much of a, like, a huge clean break that I now need to kind of figure out how to manage my time again. And like I said, my routine emerged and I really like it. I actually think it does leave time for me to do all of the things that create a well-rounded life.
Mm-hmm.
It does not incorporate the kids into that well-rounded life. And I need to figure out how to do that again. It's like that family time piece, which used to be a color. It was color-coded purple on my time block. It was family time. Now it's like, well, all time is family time. But you know how sometimes when all time is something, no time is something?
Yes, 100%.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you be able to share like some kind of blanked out visual of your time block? I'm guessing a lot of people would love to just see an example, not that they would use your time block, but just as a starting place. And I bet there's some good like online starting points for a time blocking calendar as well. So we can link to those. I love that idea.
Yeah, I stole mine from someone that I found online. I did build it myself in Google Sheets because taking someone else's template and then recreating it for yourself, I often find is just like too much editing and might as well just start over. But I could look at mine and see if I can just take out all the, you know, specifics. And just
screenshot. Yeah. So just even visually, people kind of understand what it looks like. So I love that. That's a great one. Well, my first intention is it's both vague and lofty at the same time. I want to have an answer to the question, what are we doing today? And that question comes from my children every day. I want to have an answer, even if the answer is, well, it's a boring home day. I've got work to do. Go amuse yourselves. That is an answer. But I want that to be an answer that I know is coming because we have really gotten to this point where they're bored. And I have been like the patron saint of thinking that boredom is good for kids, and go figure, 2020 gives us lots of opportunities to kind of examine how far we're willing to take something. And I've always thought that boredom is good for kids, that unstructured time is good for kids, that you let them struggle a little, let them bicker a little, let them like kind of figure it out. And then lo and behold, they will find something to do and they'll get creative. And I have been like on that soapbox so often in the last 10 years of parenting, but hey, this is a different year. And what I am realizing is it's creating some unhealthy patterns in my kids. They're getting stuck. They are they're kind of crawling off into a hole and rereading the same book over and over again. And I know you and I did that when we were growing up too, Megan, but there's something that feels slightly unhealthy about it, to be honest, at this point. So I haven't figured out exactly how, but that's, we're setting intentions. We're early in the summer. I need to be able to look at a week and a day before my kids are awake, before they're downstairs, and be able to tell them today's focus is this, or today's activity is this. And I'm not going to program every hour, but I need to reclaim, just like you were saying, when you were saying that your balance feels really good, but the kids feels off. I'm saying the same thing here. I need to be able to say, I'm so glad you asked. Today we are doing this. And that's my goal.
I love it. And let me just, let's us be clear,
yeah,
that boredom and unstructured time is fantastic, but it's very unfair the way it's been sort of thrust upon our kids. It's not truly apples to apples from when we were kids, because when we were kids, we could go jump on our bikes, yeah, and go visit a friend. And I remember actually, and I know Violet's a little young to just have, you know,
yeah,
run of the neighborhood or whatever, but I remember being at Allegra and Reed's age, and that was back in the day when parents didn't set up play dates. So if you were bored, you went and found a kid, any kid. Like, it didn't matter. It could be like the mean kid down the street, but you made do, you figured it out.
Yeah.
Now we're expecting our kids to do that within the four walls of their house, mm-hmm, without socializing with anybody, with a lot fewer outings to put time, or like,
yeah,
to just give structure to their days, because we're not taking them out to do stuff the way we used to. So it's like, it's both that it's gone on too long, and it's also that it's a very bizarre version.
Limited. Yeah.
It's very limited. Uh-huh. It's like, and I don't want my kids to feel like our home is a prison.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want them to feel like it's something, it's a haven that we can escape,
yeah,
every now and then. And so I think that that's really smart.
Yeah. I just think I will have to share a follow-up on this one, because I don't know yet, but I'm just picturing kind of channeling my inner teacher using that kitchen whiteboard. And I need to get back to a place where I'm one step ahead of my kids. And so that they're looking to me to set the expectation. And I feel like I've fallen away from that. And right, so when they ask me, I'm like, I don't know. And I don't want to do that anymore. So there you go.
Yeah. I think in my family, and I'm going to dig into this a little bit later too, but I think that there's going to have to be like a family roundtable meeting, mm-hmm, where they just really tell me, like, when I say things, and I know, you know, this is not a thing in your house. Your kids get up before you or
yeah,
very soon after you. Mine would sleep all day if, yeah, I let them. And so I'm going to need to say things like, what do we all think is a reasonable time for mom to walk around the house and wake you up? Because right now what ends up happening is I pop into everyone's room and I have to go in five times, and
yeah,
it makes me grumpy. And then maybe if they get to have some kind of like stake in that.
Yeah.
And like, what are the things we want to put on our to-do lists? Like, mm-hmm, I feel like just hearing everyone talk about what is working and what's not would be really helpful right,
yeah,
now.
So. Yeah. I love that idea.
Okay. So my next one is to schedule some planned, like, all day outings. And this is one of those things that I am choosing to look at the summer as an opportunity. Our days of doing things like jumping in the car and driving an hour and a half to a hike or a beach that's further away, or just going for a drive or having a picnic, like that stuff that I used to do when they were little, and it really kind of fell off, you know, to the wayside because our summers get eaten up by real travel.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no time for, yeah, like doing an all day trip when you've had a week's vacation and then there's another one,
yeah,
coming up.
Yeah.
And when work is really booming, which for me right now, I mean, our podcast is plugging along, but usually I'd be working on a lot of other outside projects that I'm just not right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids don't have any social lives, and they don't, and that's going to start changing, but like, it's not going to be like what it was.
Yeah.
And they don't have any commitments. So I'm like kind of going, even when our social distancing rules start to relax, I just can't see our schedules being as full as they usually would be. So, mm-hmm, this is like an opportunity for me to do something I've wanted to do, but I just never find the time to do. So this would be like literally packing up the cooler on a Tuesday morning or something and jumping in the car and going someplace, all,
yeah,
of us.
Yeah.
And then we just have to deal with each other.
Yeah. I love
that. As kids become teenagers, it becomes easier and easier to start leaving certain kids out of those outings because they don't want to be there.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's fun to force them all to go.
I think, yes. As a teenager who was often forced to go, I'm glad I was.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you and I both live in touristy areas too, which is going to be interesting because another reason, just like what you said, we tend to have our big trips, which means when we're home, I'm not very motivated to do day trips. Right. But also there's a lot of tourists usually. And that may also be different in our two communities this summer. I mean, I think there will still definitely be lots of people at both of our beaches, but we may see differences in travel and tourism, which may open up opportunities to do things more locally.
Yeah, it's a I really don't know. Like, there's always here been, especially during the week, there's always like the one beach that no one seems to have found out about yet, like the tourists don't know about yet. But our beaches have had terrible erosion over the last couple of years, like the popular ones. So it's kind of a toss up between, will they stop coming or will they still come and just find the beaches we don't want them to find? So that's one question. And if that does happen, I mean, I have no desire to be on a crowded beach. Like, that is not my thing ever. I could see us moving into like going for trips into towns that we wouldn't have bothered to visit.
Yeah.
Just going to get ice cream or just going to like visit this little haunt or that little place. And that's actually really fun. I really like back road trips. Like, I really love kind of seeing sides of the country you don't often see from the highway. And I look at that as an opportunity. So looking forward to that.
I love that. And I would like to bring a little bit of that to us as well. So thank you. Well, my next intention has to do with getting back to reading. I was on such a good reading track for the first 4 months of the year, really through April. And that includes the first like 6 weeks of the pandemic, reading first thing in the morning before the kids are awake. And I just have completely fallen off. So I want to return to reading, but I also want to reexamine early mornings in general. I alluded to this a few weeks ago when we talked about small comforts. But Brian and I are just staying up a little later at night, maybe 45 minutes later, not hugely. So I'm going to bed more like 10, between 10 and 10:30 instead of between 9:30 and 10. Brian does still work out in our garage in the mornings now, but he's not on as tight a schedule. So there's many mornings where the alarm goes off and he used to kind of be my alarm. His alarm would go off and he wants to work out. And then he was sort of my alarm because once he was moving around, I just found myself waking up. So all of that feels like it's shifted like 45 minutes to an hour later, which means I have almost no time before the two younger kids are awake. And so a couple of things I'm considering. Well, and then to compound that, we're just all such morning people, 4 out of 5 of us are, that there's like a lot that feels like it happens. And then you get to like 9:30 and it feels like you've had a whole day. And even though I enjoy being a morning person, but when we're in this pandemic where there's not very many things on our schedule, I sometimes find that kind of depressing. Like, it's like,
because it's like, oh, we already used up all of our stuff for the day.
Yeah. And like, it's now still only 9:30. It's like, right. I remember that feeling as a new mom, like, oh my gosh, this day is like, it's not even halfway to lunch yet. So for all of those things coming together, the desire to read again, and also the desire to like push the mornings out a little bit. I'm thinking of just instituting a quiet hour from 6 to 7. Reed and Violet have always been allowed to wake up at 6. And I'm just thinking of pushing that to 7 this summer. They're going to get some more freedoms this summer. They're going to get some more screen time. They're going to, and mom can giveth and mom can taketh away. So I am thinking of just saying, look, guys, you can come out of your rooms. You don't have to stay in your rooms because they're not little anymore. And you can even get your own bowl of cereal. But we are not, this house is not open for business until 7 instead of 6. And I think that could make a huge difference across the board. My ability to read and also just not having everything happen so soon in the mornings. So that's kind of what the idea I'm toying around with. They're both very mature enough to do that at this point. And then you gave me the idea to maybe move my quiet time back up to my room. So to get up, wash my face, go get my coffee, but then do all of my reading and my quiet time in my bedroom. And that way they can have run of the house. So that's something I've been noodling on. But I think now is a good time to enact it. So hopefully that will result in a return to reading / taking back my mornings.
I love this. And I can't wait to see how our schedules start creeping towards each other. And, you know, for me, what it would look like would be kitchen is closed, house is closed at night. Not a house isn't open for business yet, but like, there's a certain time of night. I don't care if you are 16 years old. You don't need to be like rambling around the kitchen, opening and closing things and eating and messing it up like at midnight. That just, you have, and I don't know what the time will be exactly, but the house does need to get shut down at some point. And I think just as, just from a feeling of being able to go to bed and feel like everyone's in and like settled is something that's hard to hold on to when your kids get older and then are teetering on adulthood. I've got one adult kid who lives here. I've got one adult kid who kind of comes and goes as he likes, even though he doesn't live here. And that honestly can be very disruptive too, because they're adults and they're doing their own thing. But they also, like, the house still has rules that are attached to the house and they apply to everybody.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's take a break and we have four more intentions to share when we get back. Megan, we've been talking about our sponsor Dermatology for a couple months now, and I have been using the products that whole time. And just last week, actually, I ran out of the needleless serum, which we both love, and I ordered more. Shipping was so quick, and now I'm back to my full skincare routine, which feels so great.
Okay, so I also ran out of the serum, which I love, and I need to order some more. I also love the SPF 45 sunscreen moisturizer, and I have a feeling I'm going to be going through that at quite a rapid rate as the sun comes out here.
Yeah, I've definitely upped my usage, and that sunscreen feels so good. So Dermatology makes medical-grade skincare products with pure, safe, clinically proven ingredients. And I have to say that while I loved the feel of the products from day one, it did take a few weeks to get to this place where I am now, where I want to, like, evangelize Dermatology. Because just like any new routine, the results didn't show up on day one, right?
Yeah, that is so true with any skincare routine. Well, the starter kit that Dermatology put together just for our listeners makes it so easy to get started with a grown-up skincare routine, especially if you get overwhelmed shopping for products, like I definitely do. The bundle comes with a cleanser, the serum, the sunscreen, and a retinol complex, and they're all designed to be used together. Dermatology has marked the package all the way down to $99 with free shipping, just for our listeners, which is a fantastic deal.
Yeah, this is such a good deal. Those four products would normally add up to $175, and you are getting it for just $99 and free shipping on top of that. Head to themomhour.com/skincare, and it's super easy to order the bundle right from there. Again, themomhour.com/skincare will take you right to Dermatology's special offer for our listeners. Check it out.
We are welcoming back our longtime partner, Shoot Along, today. Sarah, our listeners love this program.
Yes, they do. Shoot Along is an online photography course for moms who want to use their DSLR camera to take beautiful photos of their kids. I got my first DSLR back in 2012, and it was so intimidating learning to take photos in manual mode, but once I did, it was incredibly rewarding. We all love our smartphone photos, but there's really nothing like having that control over your settings to be able to take great photos in any light or situation.
Right now, Shoot Along is offering two different online courses that you do completely on your own time, at your own pace, no deadlines. Camera Express gives you 10 nuts and bolts lessons to get you comfortable with your DSLR camera and to start moving away from that auto setting, which I know is so tempting for all of us, right? Mm-hmm. And then Editing Express consists of 52 how-to videos showing how to edit and improve your images using Photoshop Elements.
Okay, so if I were you all, I would get both of those courses together. You can get them both for a total of $39.99. Because for me, in my photography learning, taking great pictures and knowing how to edit are so intertwined. They really work together. So I love that you can get those two courses as a bundle. And that's a really good deal. And what a fun way to challenge yourself this summer.
Yeah. So head to shootalong.com/themomhour to get Camera Express and Editing Express bundled together for just $39.99. Again, that's shootalong.com/themomhour and scroll down to choose Full Express to get that great deal. Check it out. Okay, so here's my next intention, and that's just generally adding physical fitness to our family's priority list. I know we've talked about that, like how slovenly the kids are getting.
Yeah.
I've been pretty active all along in the way that I am. I walk a lot, I hike, I do stuff like that. I do some yoga in my bedroom, but the kids really have only been active when I've kind of forced them to be. And sometimes that means I give them the dog's leash and tell them to go for a walk. Sometimes that means like I make them go for a walk with me, but it's just, they're starting to get, I don't know, like muscular atrophy.
I agree.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So I've got a few very specific things. First of all, there's a pool in this house and the pool cover is covered in water and leaves. And William has been diligently bailing water off the pool cover for like, I don't know, 3 weeks, and then it rains. And so it's like we keep making a little bit of progress, but it's like three steps forward, one big step back. And I think we're just going to have to say, now that the weather is consistently nice for whole days, I think we're just going to have to say we're going to head out there by 10 a.m. one day and work on it until we can get the pool cover off. Because until we can get the pool cover off, we can't deal with getting the pool, like the leaves out of the pool. I'm sure there are some in the pool. Then you got to top it off and you got to shock it to get all the crud out of it. And I have no idea how to do any of this. So it's been intimidating for me. But once we have it going, I mean, I just see that being a major part of our summer activity.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. My brother, they're redoing their patio. So he's giving us his basketball, their basketball
nice.
Hoop, which I'm really excited about because Owen got a basketball in his Easter basket and has been obsessive. Remember how he was about bottle flipping and
yes.
yo-yoing? He's been very similar about the basketball, but he doesn't have a hoop right now. So I'm looking forward to that. They have played four square. We have a nice big driveway. So like there's lots of things we can do. And then we have a big garage. It's like a double-sided garage. But the family that owned the house had used it as a, like one half of the garage is like a playroom. It's almost like partitioned off.
Yeah.
That, and so my brother,
like that too.
Yeah. So my brother has been asking if he could install a weight bench there because he doesn't really have a lot of room in his house. But then he would like lead all the teenagers through some kind of weight training program, which I think would be awesome.
That would
and
be great.
Then our bikes. Like, I feel like we're always very scattered about our bicycle situation. Like half of them are in good shape, but one needs a tune up and one has flat tires. And then, you know, so I finally was just like, why don't I just buy a good air compressor for their like. I mean, it's one of those stupid things that I wouldn't have done because we could always walk it down to the bike shop. But I don't want to do that. First of all, the bike shop's not open.
Yeah.
But like, I just bought an air pump. So now we can pump up the brake or the tires. And I want to get them all in good shape at the same time. So that combined with like these like long outings where we're just outside, bring a Frisbee or whatever, I'm hoping is going to get everyone moving because we're just going to have to shift the way we look at the time we're spending indoors versus outdoors. And then I'm going to have to take like action. I'm going to have to take control of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love all of that. We got a basketball hoop about a year ago, maybe, and it was free. Someone was getting rid of it and it has been so much fun. And I was also going to say, I don't know if any of your teenagers have watched The Last Dance, which is the ESPN documentary.
Yeah, I've heard of it, but I don't think we've watched it.
It would be fun to watch as a family, or maybe Owen would just like it, but it does make you want to get out there and shoot hoops. And shooting hoops is actually our daily like minimum for exercise. And Violet's been riding her bike a lot, and the others will shoot baskets. And so I agree. I think the basketball hoop is a great idea. And I just agree with all of that. We're going to have to find some ways to get back into physical activity too. And I agree with you that my own physical activity has been actually fine. It's been about the same. It's the families as a unit and the kids specifically. So, well, my next intention is to make our summer one-on-one dates happen, even though this summer looks very different. So I've talked about this a few times on the podcast, but in the summer, each kid gets a one-on-one date with each of us. So that makes six, three kids times two parents. And then we always make sure to have, you know, at least one or two date nights ourselves. So it ends up being 7 or 8 weekends of the summer is somebody's special date. And it's a couple of 2 or 3 hours of some kind of an outing. And there's no reason we can't continue that tradition this year. It's just we are going to be more limited in what we can do, and we may have to be more creative, but it might look like takeout food and a picnic in a park somewhere or a hike. It might look like, it might even look like staying in and doing a stay in date where we kind of sequester from the rest of the house and do a movie marathon and order our own food or do our nails or whatever. So I think I'm motivated to, it's something my kids have always looked forward to, and it could easily be like, well, there's another thing that can't happen this summer. But I'm motivated to not have it be that way and to have them be just as excited and just as fun with the one-on-one date. So it'll just take a little bit more planning and a little more creative. But I was thinking how, I think you alluded to this earlier, you can be in the house with the same four people for months. And you still kind of need that one-on-one connection. I'm feeling it with each of my kids. So looking forward to that and probably getting that kicked off pretty soon here. So,
well, I love that. And that really ties into how I've been feeling about my next one, which is in my final intention for the day, is that none of the things I just said above are going to happen unless I get the screen time under control. And that for me, in this house means video games, where none of us are big TV people. We'll watch TV, but usually we do that like kind of as a passive thing that's easy to shut off. Video games are a very different kind of situation. And that's all just going to mean a conversation with the kids because it's just different. I've always been someone who is more interested in protecting the time I don't want the kids to be on video games than policing the time they are. It's always worked for us. And when there's tons of other stuff happening, like school and activities, and like when life makes sense, that's worked. Mm-hmm. When life stopped making sense, it stopped working because suddenly you've got all the boys home again. So the adults are home, the adult kids are home, and they're not working. They're like around. So all the brothers want to hang out. Well, yeah. Hanging out means they're going to play video games. Okay, that's great. They play them together. That's no big deal. Except also William's entire social life is video gaming. Mm-hmm. And that's where everyone's gone. They're all on games. And then Owen's social life, which has always looked different from Will's, has almost just become gaming. So it's different for the two of them. For William, it's a way to go on and talk to the people he would have talked to in real life. Mm-hmm. For Owen, it's just a way to talk to anybody. But I guess my point is that those schedules don't all match up. So it kind of feels like people are just gaming all
constantly
the time. Yeah. And what's kind of happened, we've talked about in the past where like sometimes it can feel like you've got two different families going on. So mm-hmm. you've got like the younger kid, like we've talked about that with age spacing and siblings and stuff. Well, I feel like that it's like Clara and I, uh-huh. and then the boys, we have become like separate factions inside the house because
gamers.
Clara and I hang out.
Gamers and non-gamers.
Yeah, gamers and non-gamers. And she'll kind of try like half-heartedly to play a game, but it's not her thing. So she and I'll hang out, but sometimes she gets so sad because she'll be like, well, what if we put a movie on in the living room? Do you think the boys would come in? Like, aww. Like she's looking for ways to lure them to want to talk to her and hang around with her. So I just am going to have to get on top of it. But I think it's not going to work the way it used to. I don't think I can say again, like, hey, guys, you can't be on from 4 to 6 or you can be on from 7 to 9 and then be done, because all of these different scheduling things now are getting in the way. Mm-hmm. These specific time frames are overlapping. Specific friends are on specific times. Like, there's just a need for, I think, for all of us to sit down and like map out a plan together, mm-hmm. because this isn't the same as it was. And I can't just either let it go and trust it'll work out for the best, or crack down and trust that it'll work out for the best. It's like I need some middle ground and a workable plan.
Yeah. Well, I think that's another one that we will look forward to an update on, because it's like uncharted territory kind of. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, my final one is just sort of a general mantra. And that is, I want to expect more of my kids this summer and also let go more. So two sides of the same coin. And, you know, a lot of times I go into summer with the same idea. So in some ways it's no different than any other summer. With the expect more, I think summer is a really good time to, you know, look at your life skills, look at the freedoms they have and the responsibilities that they're ready for. But again, and this has now become the theme of this episode, it's not going to happen if I don't think ahead of what that might look like.
Right.
One specific thing I'm thinking about is some kind of structured way that the older two are responsible for, quote unquote, watching Violet, babysitting, if you want to call it babysitting or playing with her. I'm still kind of struggling with this because it's sensitive. I don't want her to feel like she's got to be like she needs a handler. But the truth is she does. And it's not because it's more because she's so social. She so needs social interaction, and it cannot be me all the time. And I've always steered away from like, hey, can you play with your little sister? Like, there's something that I haven't wanted to do that because I want it to be natural. I want them to sometimes want to be together, and I know it's normal for them not to want to be together. And I've wanted to kind of respect that as they build their relationships. But I also have to be honest with myself that there's some times in which a transactional relationship is worth it to me. And I don't mean paying them, because I don't plan to pay initially, but I might tie it to some other privilege. Like, you know, at this time on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you get to be in charge with Violet. I expect you to play with her. I expect you to make it fun for her and make her feel valued during that time. And that's part of your responsibility. And you also get these other freedoms and privileges this summer. So it's almost like upping the responsibilities, the life skills, the things I expect of them, and all the things we've talked about today with regard to like sleep management and taking care of themselves and like, all, you know, upping the ante there. And then also finding ways if I can give them more freedom, you know, to, you know, enjoy being a slightly older year. So I feel like summer's always a good time for that. But I am specifically looking for ways that I can both expect more and then also step back a little bit, if that makes sense.
Well, and, you know, siblings are rarely going to voluntarily want to hang out with their needy younger sibling. Like, right. You know what I mean? They might accidentally fall into it and you'll find them hanging out together and it's working and you're like, wow. But I just don't think the more kind of, I don't know, into themselves they get in that kind of tween period, it is the more that you have to instill that it's a responsibility as someone who's in a family.
Yeah.
To do that sometimes. And so I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, it transactional is one way to put it. But another, it could be just like, this is kind of your family duty. Yeah. And, you know, like, she's little and she has needs and it's all of our job to kind of fill those needs.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'm really happy that we did this. I'm feeling more positive about this summer, but also like I have some work to do to like
me too.
Put some
but I'm also really glad that I just have four not simple, but like totally doable things. There's nothing on this list that I can't do if I just make a point of doing it. So it's been really fun. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. And we would love to hear your summer intentions. You can leave us a comment on Instagram or in our Facebook group, or you can email us at hello@themomhour.com. We love getting your emails.
Yes, we do. And also, if one of your summer intentions is to take good care of yourself and your skin, don't forget to visit themomhour.com/skincare and order that $99 starter bundle from our sponsor, Dermatology. We both love it, and we really think that you will too.
Yeah, again, that's themomhour.com/skincare. for a great deal with Dermatology. And we'll be back with you soon with another all new episode. Talk to you then.